lying. Just the mention of that word brings all kinds of things to our minds, doesn't it? Every one of us in this audience, for the most part, understand that lying is an evil thing, don't we? But what's interesting to me is this. Even though we know it's evil, all of us at some point in our lives have lied. The very first lie about which we read is found in the pages of the book of Genesis, very early on in the creation story, isn't it? God had told Adam and Eve, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. But notice what the serpent said. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. A direct contradiction of the word of God. And a lie for sure. My friends, if you and I had no other examples of lies, this one lie alone ought to be enough to convince us how bad lying is. That one lie brought great embarrassment and shame to that first couple. That one lie brought rebuke and punishment to that first couple as well. That one lie caused the face of the earth to be cursed and man to be separated from God due to his sins and his transgressions, and would not be reconciled again until the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. Lying is a heinous evil. Yet, lying is awful prevalent in our society, isn't it? Here's what I find interesting. We hear lies all the time from a lot of different individuals, and we know they're lying. That's what's so funny to me. Most of the time you tell a lie so you can get away with something. Now individuals just tell a lie and they could care less whether you know it's a lie or not. I'm just going to tell you a lie. We've already made mention of this. We say as Christians we hate lies, and yet sometimes we too engage in lies, and thus we are a part of the problem of lying in our society, aren't we? Now here's what's even more amazing to me. An individual lies to us. We know that he lies. And what do? We overlook the liar and we act as if that individual is one of the most honest, upright individuals in all the world. That's how prevalent lying is in our society. I hope you understand the subject matter for this morning's lesson. Because what we're going to be talking about for a few minutes is this, the sin of lying. We're going to be looking at 3 points this morning. The very first one is this, the origin of all lies. It was Jesus Christ himself who tells us exactly where all lying begins. And he did so in John 8 verse 44. Talking to the Jews, he said, ye are of your father the devil, and the works of the father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. He is a liar, now watch this, and the father of it. My friends, there is no truth at all in the evil one. That's what Jesus says. There is no truth in him. Everything he says, everything he speaks to us, it is all a lie. And all the lies that are here upon this planet originated first and foremost in Satan himself. We turn to the Revelation. And the Revelation informs us that Satan is the one who deceives the entirety of humanity. And that old serpent, that old dragon, called the devil and Satan. He deceiveth the whole world, according to Revelation 12:9. The Bible says that Satan, which deceiveth them, was cast into the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Revelation 20 and verse 10. We go into the scripture and we see individuals lying. And what's interesting to me is that Satan oftentimes is connected with their lies. Remember a man by the name of Ananias? Remember what Peter said to that man when he lied right there unto Peter and the rest of the church? Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie unto the Holy Ghost? You see, Satan is the originator. Satan is the motivator. Satan is the one that is behind all lying. And Peter admits that when Ananias lies. My friend, Satan is constantly striving to pawn off his lies on us. And Paul knew that when he wrote to the churches. He writes to the Corinthian church and he says this, "But I fear, lest that by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity which is in Christ." There are individuals who will lie to us in order to harm our relationship with God Almighty. And guess who's behind that? Paul says that it is Satan. Satan is the originator of lies. Folks, you and I need to do everything we possibly can to get as far away as we possibly can from lying. Because you see, the moment we lie, the moment we do not tell the truth, we immediately align ourselves with Satan. And let me tell you, Satan is not a being who is there for your best benefit, is he? Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. He's not a friend. He should not be our companion. He should not be the one we align ourselves with. And if he is the father of lies, we need to get just as far as we possibly can from him. So Satan is where lies originate. Point number two, to whom can we lie? There's three different individuals to whom we can lie. Number one, we can lie to God. Now that seems almost like an impossibility, doesn't it? If I were to say, "Can you lie to God?" most people would say, "No, you can't lie to God because God knows everything." But you see, folks, lying does not depend upon the receiver of the lie. Lies depend upon the one who tells the lie. How many of us have, as parents, have asked our children a particular question and immediately that child lies to us and we know it? What do we say? "You're lying." Even though we know the truth, that doesn't change the fact that the child has lied. And you see, every one of us can lie, even to the God of heaven, can't we? An example is found in a woman by the name of Sarah, the wife of Abraham. It was told to Abraham that he's going to have a child with Sarah. And the Bible says that Sarah laughed, Genesis 18 verse 12. Go back and read the verse and find out why you laughed. And guess what? You might laugh with her. I won't tell you about that. You can do some study on that yourself. But what was interesting is this. And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh?" The Bible says this. Sarah denied, saying, "I laugh not," for she was afraid. Oh, she just lied to God, didn't she? She did laugh. God heard her laugh. He knew what she had done. And yet she denied it. She lied about her laugh. And the Bible says this, and he, that's God, said to her, nay, but thou didst laugh. Wow. You see, even though an individual knows that we are lying, when we tell the lie, it does not change the fact that we have lied by our statement. Oh God, I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. We say that, don't we? And then after we say it, there's a but on the end of that. But you're not going to get all of me. You're not going to get all of my time. You're not going to get all of my service. You're not going to get all of my sacrifice. You're not going to get all of my time. But God, I want you to know, I love you with my all. You see, it's possible what? To lie to God. We need to understand that. Secondly, it's possible for us to lie to others, isn't it? In fact, this is probably the most common form of lying in our society. And when we talk about lying to others, usually we kind of categorize the kind of lies that we tell. You see, some lies we refer to as little bitty lies. Vic goes fishing and Vic catches a minnow. But I come home and everybody says, well, how did the fishing trip go? Oh, it was wonderful. I caught a 5-pound bass. Does that look like a 5-pound bass to you? That's my bait, folks. But you see, we kind of stretch the truth, add a little bit to it, take a little bit from it, and we just think of that, well, it's just kind of a little lie. It's not that big. And then there's medium lies. All of a sudden, we look in the rearview mirror, and guess what? There is a flashing blue light therein telling us to pull over. And we do. And the nice police officer steps up there and he says, do you want to know why I pulled you over? Well, I think it was for speeding. That's right. You were speeding. Now the question is what? Why? Why were you speeding? Oh, man. Now we can either tell the truth or tell a lie. Officer, I just have a heavy foot. And those speeding signs, they don't mean a thing to me. Now, who's ever told an officer that? I just got a lead foot and I do this all the time. I break the law all the time. I just fly around. Nobody tells an officer that. Here's what we do. We scratch our head and we say, well, what was the speed limit? Well, it's 45. Well, I didn't know that. You just drive that road every day of the week. See, that's just kind of a medium lie. You're lying to an authority, aren't you? Folks, there's some lies that we would classify as big lies, aren't there? Even when we lie to others, there are big lies. You see, anytime we lie to another and it involves their spiritual well-being, folks, that is a big lie, isn't it? We read of one in 2 Kings chapter 13. The Bible says this, that one man's talking to another, and these are the words that he speaks to him. I am a prophet also as thou art. And the angel spake unto me the word of the Lord, saying, bring him home with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. The very next statement says this, but he lied unto him. The story is an interesting story. Jeroboam was king. God sends this man of God to Jeroboam to speak in him the word of the Lord. He says, I want you to go to Jeroboam one way, and I want you to return from Jeroboam another way. And while you're there in the land, I do not want you to eat any bread or drink any water whatsoever. And the old prophet lied to him. An angel came to me, he said, and said, invite him into your house and let him eat bread and let him drink water. And the young prophet did. And we know the end of the story, don't we? That young prophet was devoured by a lion on his way home after violating the command of God. You see, a big lie, wasn't it? A lie that brought the disfavor of Jehovah upon that young prophet. You see, anytime we lie about spiritual things, anytime we cause individuals to go astray spiritually, folks, those are huge, big lies, aren't they? Here's what's interesting. We can lie to ourselves, can't we? It's another common lie that individuals involve themselves in. Sometimes we refer to it as self-deception. There's two examples that I'm going to mention, and the reason I'm going to mention them is because we've studied both of them very recently, either in our Bible classes or in sermons. One of them involves a man by the name of King Saul. We all know him, don't we? King Saul had been commanded by God to go and utterly destroy the Amalekites and all that they have, everything. Men and women, infant and sucklings, oxen, sheep, ass, everything that they've got. I want everything destroyed. He spared who? Agag and the best of the flocks and the best of the herds, didn't he? Samuel is immediately dispatched to the king, and the Bible says in verse 13 of 1 Samuel 15 that Samuel went out unto, or that Saul went out unto Samuel and said, I have obeyed the commandment of the Lord. Folks, there's a man who is self-deceived, isn't he? Now, I really believe Saul, in his mind, thought he had done nothing wrong. Nothing. Yes, I spared Agag, but that's common practice. And yes, we have spared the best of the flocks and the best of the herds, but we're going to offer those in sacrifice to God. They're not our spoils, they're God's spoils. And he believed firmly, I've done nothing wrong. I have obeyed the commandment of the Lord. Folks, he was self-deceived, wasn't he? Last Sunday night, we studied Peter, didn't we? And Peter's threefold denial of Jesus upon the night of his arrest and his trials. Out there in that hall, two maids confront him. Aren't you one of them? No, no, not me. The servant of the high priest confronts him and he begins to curse and swear, I don't know who that man is. Do you remember what he had said before this? Yet though all be offended because of thee, I will not be offended. That's recorded in Mark 14, 29, folks. You see, Peter was self-deceived. There's absolutely no way, no way that I will ever deny my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know who you are. You're the Son of God. I've made that confession, and I will never deny you. And yet, three times, he did exactly that. We can lie to God, we can lie to others, and we can lie to ourselves. Let's look at the third point, the evil of lies. Why is lying so evil? Number one, folks, it keeps one from knowing the truth. Every lie, regardless of how big or little or medium or whatever words we want to use to describe it, every lie is a perversion, is a manipulation, or is a rejection of truth. When I believe a lie, I am buying into fantasy, aren't I? When I believe a lie, then there's absolutely no way that I can be liberated by that lie. I'm brought under bondage by it. When I believe a lie, then guess what? I do not know what is real. I know what's false. I know what's fiction. I know what's a lie, but I don't know what's real. That's why Solomon said in the long ago in Proverbs 23, 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Folks, we don't want lies. We want the truth, don't we? Because you see, Jesus said it's the truth that what? Makes you free. John 8, verse 32. Secondly, lying is evil because it upholds Satan and it opposes Jesus Christ. A while ago we said that all lies are what? All lies are the product of Satan himself. He is the father of lies. I find it interesting that Jesus says this about himself. I am the truth. John 14, verse 6. Whereas Satan is the father of all lies, Jesus is the source and the fountain of all truth. It's his nature. Now think about that. When you tell a lie, who do you side with? Folks, my lie means that I have immediately sided myself with Satan. And Jesus put it very plainly. No man can what? No man can serve two masters. It's an impossibility. I can't lie and side with Satan and at the same time say that I am siding myself with Jesus Christ, who is the author of all truth. It's an impossibility. So lies are evil. Why? Because they forsake truth and because they align me with the evil one. Secondly, they destroy character, don't they? I realize that the word character can either be negative or positive, but in our society, when we use the word character, almost every time it's a positive term, isn't it? Do you know Brother So-and-so? Yes, I know him. He's a man of character. You see, we never say it when an individual is an evil person, do we? Does the Bible teach us that we need to do everything we can possibly do in order to develop a good character? Sure. Proverbs 22, verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. You see, in that verse, we are being exhorted to build good character so that when our name is heard and others hear about us, they immediately respond with the fact, well, yes, he is a man of wonderful character. But we lie. And folks, it doesn't take much. And guess what? All of a sudden, our good name is gone, isn't it? We can tarnish our good character. Another person is talking about us. Oh, that Vic down there, he's a man of great character. Yep. But he's a liar. That just destroyed my character, didn't it? I like Brother Vic down there at the church. He's a good guy. Yeah, but you want to know what? You can't trust that man. Folks, it may have only been one lie that I told to another person. And yet that one lie destroyed my character, at least in that individual's mind, didn't it? You see, lying's evil. What takes years and years and years and work and work and work to build up can be destroyed with just one lie, can it? Lying is evil. Notice this, lying leads in the wrong direction, doesn't it? Folks, every lie points the wrong way. It doesn't matter how much it points the wrong way, it's still the wrong way. It doesn't matter whether it's 1 degree off or whether it is 180 degrees off, it still leads the person in the wrong way, doesn't it? Every lie does that. And spiritually, there's only two ways. Isn't that right? Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate. And then Jesus talks about the broad way and the wide gate. There's only two ways, folks. And the two ways are either heaven or hell itself. Either I'm on the road to heaven and pointing others to that way, or I'm on the road to hell and pointing others to that way. It's only two ways. Proverbs 14:12 says this, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You see, I need to understand that when I tell lies, even though I may believe their truth, even though I may believe they're okay, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man. But if I'm pointing an individual in the wrong way, then the only way to which he can go spiritually is down the road to hell itself. Lies lead in the wrong direction. Watch this. Lies cause individuals to lose their souls, don't they? Folks, every lie that is spoken, every lie opposes Jesus and opposes truth. Every lie. And what does the Bible say about all liars? But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I've always been interested by that list, haven't you? Because those things that he begins with are pretty bad sins. Fear, unbelief, being an abominable person, a murderer, a whoremonger, a sorcerer, an idolater. Folks, we look upon those kind of, that's awful. I would never, as a Christian, be involved in any of that. And all liars. I just find it interesting that he casts liars right into the same group of people as these wicked individuals. All who are going to lose their souls. See, lying is an evil thing. Lying should never, ever be a part of a Christian's behavior. Paul tells us in Colossians 3:9, "Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds." When I became a Christian, I died to that old way of living. I cast that old man aside and I came up from the waters of baptism, a new creature in Christ Jesus. And folks, a part of those old garments involved what? Lying. Now we don't lie to one another. We don't lie to God. We don't lie even to ourselves. Here's what's interesting. If you and I are people of truth, and we live in the world in which we live, we're going to stand in opposition to a lot of people, aren't we? A whole lot of people. And there's a lot of people, folks, that don't appreciate truth. Let me tell you that. And they're not going to appreciate you being an individual of truth. But that's exactly who God wants us to be. Sadly, there's a lot of individuals who have run into a lot of people who have lied to them. And, you know, we get a little bit cynical, don't we? And we begin to wonder, can we really trust anybody? Is there any person, is there anywhere that I can go in order to really find out what is true? And folks, the answer to that is yes. There is a place, isn't there? You see, the Bible says that God cannot lie. Titus 1 verse 2. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 14 verse 6. The Bible describes the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And in this little book that we call the Bible, folks, there is nothing but truth found therein. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you want a place of truth, you go to God and you go to his word. And there you can find it every time. If you want to know what to do to be saved, folks, don't go ask some human being. Pick up the Bible and find out what the Bible says you need to do in order to be saved. Isn't that what you need to do? This is truth. This won't lie to you. And the Bible says very plainly that there are five simple steps that an individual needs to take in order to become a Christian. You can read through the Gospels and find the five steps. You can read through the book of Acts and find the five steps. You can read the epistles and guess what? Those five steps are there. Because these are what Scripture authorizes, to hear the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can't even have faith without hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Believe in the Christ. Jesus said, for if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins, John 8:24. You've got to repent. You've got to die to that old way of living. You got to change the way you behave. Change your thinking. Because Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. The Scripture says that a man must stand before men and make a good confession publicly. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10:32. And regardless of what man says about baptism, folks, immersion in water is absolutely essential for the salvation of one's soul. Jesus said it, did he not? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16:16. Paul was told, and now why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22:16. Those are the five steps. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. That's truth. That's truth. And all we do is ask you to do that this morning. Do you need to respond to the gospel? Dear Christian, what about you? Does your life really manifest yourself as a person of truth? Maybe tonight, today, we need to make that right with God. Maybe we need to repent of our sins, come back to God, and live for Him. Do you need to repent, confess those sins, and ask God to forgive you? Won't you come as together we stand and sing?